I am, the declaration that Jesus made about himself. And this morning we are looking at I am the door of the sheep, as we have heard and as we're going to read just a little bit. So as we were listening along this morning, as we were watching, as we were listening, I hope you recognized somebody familiar. Sorry, we've got a little bit of popping, and I don't know why. Let's get that fixed. So as you were looking and as you were listening, you saw somebody familiar, and that familiar person should have been the man that we met last week, which was the man who was born blind, right? If you've been reading this passage, we're not looking at all of it, we're not reading all of it, but for the Jews at that time, the hardest miracle always was a miracle that brought healing to someone who had been that way from birth, which is why this one is such a big deal, and which is also why when Peter and John walked to the temple, this is in the book of Acts, and they, through the power of God, they bring healing to the man who was lame, the beggar, lame from birth. That's why it created such an uproar, as it does this morning as well. So here we have the blind man that Jesus healed by spitting on the dirt. And there's humor in this. God is a funny God. He has given us, he's given us our sense of humor. And the man, when Jesus heals him, the Bible's very clear. He spat in the dirt and made kind of a mud and put it on his eyes. And then the first time the blind man tells the story, he says, he spit and did it. The second time, he says, he made clay, and then the third time he says, he put mud on my eyes. So he sort of sanitizes the story as it goes along. But Jesus spat on the ground and made clay, and made mud and put it in his eyes, and then told him to go to the pool of Siloam and to wash, and then he saw through that. So I want you to keep in mind this morning that Jesus, as he's speaking, it is the same group of people that are listening in general. It's the same group. It's the Pharisees. So in that group, there are those who are very hard-hearted and don't believe at all. In that group, there are those who really believe and follow Jesus. And in that group are also people who are in the middle, and they, do I believe? Is this the Messiah? Is this not the Messiah? But they're following along to learn more. And to every one of those groups, Jesus is speaking, just as he's speaking to us this morning. So as we look at our text in John 10, 1 through 10, we've just seen it and heard it. In just a minute, we're going to read a slightly more modern translation. But to get a clear picture of Jesus' meaning in this statement, it's helpful to understand a little bit about the culture and about sheep and shepherding. And so of all the domesticated animals, sheep are the most helpless of all of the animals. They are the most helpless. They spend their entire day grazing, wandering from place to place. They seldom look up, and as a result, they often become lost. And unfortunately, unlike many animals, domesticated animals, sheep have little or no homing instinct. Some of us feel that way too. Have you ever been lost and you didn't know how to find your way? And thank the Lord for Google Maps. But sheep didn't have Google Maps, and they don't have them now. And generally, domesticated sheep have no homing instinct, and that's why they need a shepherd. When we begin to understand some of these things about sheep, that is when what we find out about the shepherd and the good shepherd is so wonderful for us as we consider our own lives as well. Sheep are incapable of finding their way to the sheepfold, even if it's really in plain sight. By nature, they're followers. If the sheep in the front walks off a cliff, usually the others walk off a cliff too. If the lead sheep walks into a deep stream and drowns, the others walk in and they drown as well. They need a shepherd. Sheep are prey animals. That's why we'll talk more about this next week. Next week's going to be I Am the Good Shepherd, so that's the advance. But for those of you, especially those of you that are good in biology and things like that, sheep have great peripheral vision, where their eyes, not on the front of their head, but on the side of their head, and their vision is up to 310 degrees. So it's great peripheral vision because they're prey animals, right? And so So they're very sensitive and easily scared. They're sensitive to new and strange noises as well. And if they are driven, they will often scatter. That's why they need to be led as well. So this is a little bit of the background. Their only natural defense usually is to huddle against a predator or to run and be scattered from a predator. That's it. They're helpless against predators. So now let's see what Jesus says. Jesus begins to talk to this crowd that's gathered around him, and they should understand what he's talking about because it is a sheep-herding culture, right? Let's look at it. And Jesus says, I'm telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen or the sheepfold by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay. The doorkeeper opens the door for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from such a person because they do not know his voice. So as they're listening to Jesus talk about this, and Jesus, by the way, was not a physical, literal shepherd, but they all understood about shepherding and sheep caring and sheep husbandry and things like that. And they understood there were two kinds of sheepfolds or sheep pens. One of the kinds was a public sheepfold. And in this first explanation, in this first description, this is what Jesus is talking about. And this is the type of sheepfold that would be found by a village or by a city. And in this type of sheepfold, it was a communal sheepfold. And so it would be built, and then there would be a door there. And the shepherds of the village, if they were near the village, if they were grazing near the village, in the evening they would come to the communal sheepfold. They would bring in their sheep into this sheepfold, one by one, each of the various shepherds. And then the porter or the man who kept the door that night would close the door. And in this case, there was a door or a gate that he would close, and it would be closed through the night. The sheep would be safe, and they would sleep. They'd be all mixed in there together. And then in the morning, as the shepherds were ready to take their sheep out to feed and to find pasture and water again, they would go to the door, and they would ask the porter or the doorkeeper or the gatekeeper, I've come to get my sheep. And the porter would open the door, the shepherd would go in or would stand at the doorway, and he would call by voice. And he would call, and his sheep knew his voice, and they would follow the shepherd as he led them out. So this is the first image, right? Now, this for us seems a little bit unusual, unless you've done some reading, Bible reading and Bible studies, and a lot of you have. And so as Jesus was talking about it, it should be very clear what Jesus was saying. Verse 6, Jesus told them this illustration, but they didn't understand what he meant. So we go a little bit further. So Jesus said again, I'm telling you the truth. I'm the door of the sheep. Now he changes his illustration, doesn't he? It's changing a little bit, although it's still doors and sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it in rich and satisfying abundance. So because they didn't understand his first illustration, Jesus explains further. And in this illustration, he goes from being, they listen to my voice, to saying directly, I am the door. I'm the door of the sheep. Now, depending on your translation, some of you will have not door, but you'll have what word? Gate. Okay, same thing in the original, same meaning. And so in this second explanation or this second illustration, this described the sheepfold or the sheep pen that was not by the city, but that was out in the countryside in the open areas. And in these open areas in good weather, the shepherd would take his sheep much further out where they could find better pasture. And it would be too far to go all the way back to the village or to the town where they were. And instead, the shepherd would have a very rough rock semicircle. and there would be one little opening, and it would be just out in the open. And when night fell, the shepherd would lead his sheep through that one little opening into that rough rock circle with one little opening. The sheep would go in. There was no door there. The shepherd would lie down in the opening, and the shepherd became the door. And so when Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep," he is being as plain as he can be. And he says a little bit later in verse 9, "I am the door." The sheepfold only had one entrance and one exit. And so Jesus uses a wonderful example, because he doesn't say, "I am a door." He says, "I am what? The door. I am the door. There is one door." And so as he begins to explain that, they begin to understand more and more what he is saying. There was no gate to close. There was just an opening. So the shepherd would keep the sheep in and safe so that they could rest. Because when sheep are afraid, they cannot rest, and they'll get stressed. But when they were in an enclosed area and the shepherd was at the door, then the sheep were safe and at peace. Okay? We're getting all of the analogies now, aren't we? And it's ministering to our hearts and to our spirits. So it kept the sheep in safe and secure and at rest and at peace. But it also kept out the thieves, the robbers, and the wolves. So it's two things. It keeps the sheep in. It keeps the thieves, robbers, the wolves out. So as we look at this morning, as we think about Jesus, "I am the door, I'm the door of the sheep," I want to ask you something. Ready? Little quiz time. Take just a minute, but don't take long, because we want to keep on going on the message. I want to ask you how many doors you passed through this morning. There's a small team here to make the service flow today. So we've probably gone through more entrances, right? We've probably gone through more doors. If you are at home, I don't care if you're still in your pajamas. I can guarantee that you've already gone through some doorways this morning, haven't you? And if you're out in the park or watching somewhere, then you've gone through even more doorways. So have you kind of counted up? I had to count three times yesterday because I kept on missing. I did it ahead of time because I didn't want to take that much time in the message. And I figured out I have gone through, to get here, to be with you today, I have gone through 18 doors. 18. You say, "How can that be?" Easy. I'm not going to count them all, but I've counted every doorway in my home because I've been through all of them this morning, including the bathroom door, as you have as well, including in this building, the elevator door, all these other doors, the door to the stairway when I was walking up and down as well. And since I drive, my car door, that's another entrance, right? So 18 doors. How many have you gone through? Some of you have probably gone through 10 or more also as well. If you have gone by MTR, you've got a bunch of doorways also. You've got a bunch of entrances as well. So in this first part, as we look at in understanding this description, here's the first point, main point. Doors mean entrance. Okay, doors, what does the door mean? The door means an entranceway. Now, is it an exit? Yes, it's an exit as well. But for our purposes and for what Jesus is describing, it's primarily the door means an entrance. And we know that Jesus is speaking here first and foremost about salvation. Now, there's more than salvation that he's talking about here. And it's really encouraging as we look at it. But he starts with salvation. So the most obvious function of a door is to provide an entrance. And Jesus says, "I'm the door of the sheep. I am the door. Whoever comes in by me will be saved." And so as we think about this, and what he's telling them is, it's very clear. At this point, he's not even using a metaphor or a simile. He's saying, "Whoever comes in by me will be saved," right? So he's not even using symbolic language. He's being very specific here. Now, why does Jesus say this at this point? I asked you in the beginning, Did you recognize the man born blind? We saw it in our video, and then we listened to the scriptures as well. It's one of the reasons I love these gospel videos. It's taken directly. They're not adding any words. They're not taking any poetic license. They're using the words of scripture. So it's very, very encouraging. And they've got it in for, depending on your preference, it's American English, which is this. They have it British English, other things as well, and other languages as well. So why does Jesus here say, I'm the door of the sheep, and whoever comes in me will be saved? When Jesus says this, he is prompted by what has just happened. What has just happened? What has just happened is he saw the man born blind, and they're talking about him, and then he says, I'm the light of the world, and he heals the man born blind. Remember earlier, the people were hungry, and he said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus uses situations to bring truth and understanding and light into people's situations. And I want to say something to us this morning. God still works the same way. And if you will ask the Holy Spirit, he will help you as you go through your days to have your ears and your eyes open to very natural situations where there are needs. And the Holy Spirit will prompt you, and you'll be able to introduce people to the one who can meet every need, Jesus. Jesus. That's how Jesus did it, and that's how he still works today. And so he heals the man born blind, and everybody's talking about it. You can see that. That's in the chapter that comes right before this. So people are questioning, is that the man that's born blind? He looks like him, but he can't be. And others are saying, I think it is, but I'm not sure. And then others are saying, yeah, I'm pretty sure it is because I'm his neighbor. And the whole time, here's the funny part, the whole time the man is almost literally jumping up and down and saying, I'm the one, I'm the one, I'm the one. But it's just so hard to believe, isn't it, that he could be the one. And so the Pharisees call him in. But the problem is the Pharisees have already decided Jesus cannot be the Messiah. Jesus is not the one. For those of you that want a movie illustration, you know that movie thing as well. Okay, is that better? It's uncomfortable, but we'll try anyhow. Okay. And so he's saying, I'm the one. So they take him before the Pharisees. The Pharisees, it's recorded 12 different questions, but they've already made up their mind about Jesus. You see, when people sometimes don't waste your breath for people who have already made up their mind unless the Holy Spirit tells you to talk with them, because people who have made up their mind and ask questions are not really seeking answers. And so the Pharisees have already decided Jesus is not the Messiah. So when the blind man who has been healed says that one name Jesus, they can't accept it. And what happens in the end? They throw him out of the synagogue. Not just leave this room, but what they do is they cast him out. And in those days, to be cast out of the synagogue meant you are cut off from any fellowship with God. You are cut off from temple worship. You're cut off from all of these things. And so the Pharisees kick him out, cast him out, and read the Bible. What does it say? Let's look at it. When Jesus heard they had expelled him from the synagogue, he found the man and he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Now, at this point, I love this. The man does not even know that this is the one who healed him, right? Why? Because he was blind. And the man answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Because he knew that the Son of Man was the one who had healed him. And Jesus says, "You have seen him." Oh, I get chill bumps when I read that. You have seen him. He could never have seen him before, but he works a miracle. And Jesus says, "You have seen him," Jesus said, "and he is speaking to you." "You have seen him," Jesus said, "and he is speaking to you." "Yes, Lord, I believe," the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Why does Jesus go to him, and what does Jesus do? Jesus goes to him and does what? He opens the door to salvation. And the man walks through, and he is saved. And he is saved. Why? "Because I am the door," says Jesus. And he says this in light, and he says this in the context of the Pharisees who held on so strongly to all of the religious things. The Pharisees were the ones that told people, you're religious, you're good, you're bad. You can have a relationship with God. Oh, you're a Gentile. No, no hope for you. You can never have a relationship with God. Oh, you're an adulterer. We caught you in adultery. You can never have a relationship with God. You must be stoned. And this is what the Pharisees did. But Jesus said, in effect, they are not the door. I'm the door. And I'm the one who opens the door so that you may have salvation. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, everyone who's listening, no one can tell you you may not enter the door. No church can say to you, you don't qualify. No group, no organization can say, we have the only way. Because Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Come in through me and you will be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as we look at this, as we think about this, so what do doors mean? Doors mean entrances. You and I, we deserve to die for our sin. We deserve to die. You deserve to die physically. You deserve to die spiritually. We deserve to be separated from God. We deserve to have the door eternally shut against us. But Jesus paid the price. Jesus died in our place. Jesus took our sin to the cross. No one else could do it, but he did it. And he became on every level our door to God. Think about all the doors you have knocked on before you came to Jesus. Think about it. Think about the ways you tried to make your life better. Think about the doors that you tried to do. You knocked on this door, but that wasn't the door of salvation. You tried to be as good as possible, but that's not the door of salvation. You tried to follow all the rules, but that's not the door to salvation. There's only one door to salvation, and he is Jesus. And he says, I am the door of the sheep. And Jesus is not stingy. And Jesus is not selfish. Jesus is loving. And he opens the door to salvation. And he says, walk in through me and be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:20. By his death, Jesus opened what? Here's the door. Here's the door. A new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. As you read through Scripture, and especially in the New Testament, let this truth come back to you again and see again where throughout his word, the things that Jesus says, he makes it new. He makes it fresh. And we see it again and again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I want to say something this morning as we look at this, because you and I know very well the world in which we live, the culture in which we live. And there are people all around us. There are people all around us. Excuse me, just a minute. A little bit of housekeeping right here. Does this mean I cannot wear any earrings whatsoever? Not even a post? Phooey. Here we go. Let's get back into it. Amen. We live in a culture and in a society that gets very riled by the exclusive claims of Jesus. Yes? Have you ever tried to talk to people? Well, what about this? And what about that religion? And what about this? And they get very upset that Jesus says there's only one way. Oh, they don't like that. May I say something to each one of us in love this morning and to everyone? Don't be angry that there's only one way. Oh, be thankful and rejoice that there is a way. That there is a way. And Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. In Ephesians 2:17-18, Paul is talking to both Jews and Gentiles, right? So for the Gentiles, they had already always been told by the Jews, you can never, you can't enter, you can't enter. And for the Jews, they had been told, you got to enter through the temple worship, through the law, through all of these things. But Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, Ephesians 2:17-18, when Christ came, he proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away. By the way, who's the you who are far away? It's every one of us this morning. We were the Gentiles. We were far away. We were, at least the Jews were a little bit closer than we were. But he says, Christ has proclaimed good news to you and peace to those who were near. Those were the Jews. For through him, verse 18, for through him we both have what? Access by one Spirit to the Father. Again, put another word for there. Access, door, entrance, any way you want to look at it. So here we see this again. But I want to say something to us this morning as we look at this. The mere presence of a door does not guarantee that the door will be used, right? Just because there's a door, it doesn't mean that it will be used. So when Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep, he adds, you got your Bibles? Are you looking in those verses? He says, I am the door of the sheep. And then he adds, if anyone enters, he shall be saved. Let me go back and there we go. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So it's not enough that Jesus is the door. You have to enter through Jesus as well. Amen. Amen. So then as we look at this, so you have to enter to be saved. Many know, but are unwilling. Anyone. The door is available for the use of any person. And we may give many other reasons, but Jesus says, I am the door and I'm the way, and he's the only one. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking of my former flatmate, Betty Windham. Many of you know her. And at that time, I think we were still working, teaching in China. And in the summertime, we'd go back to the U.S., and Betty Windham loves to drive a car more than anybody I know. She loves to drive. She loves to road trip, and she loves something else as well. She loves her nephews so much. She had three nephews, loved them so much. And every summer when Betty would go home, you know what she would do? Road trip, road trip. And she would almost always take her nephews on road trips, even when they were very young. And even like under the age of 10, 9, 8, and younger. And so they were kind of stair steps. And so one summer, Betty decided, she'd read the various things, and she decided, we're going to Texas. That's several states over from Alabama. And she said, and we're going to San Antonio, the city of San Antonio, because they had this wonderful feature called the River Walk. And some of you may have heard of it before. It's below the street level, and it goes along the San Antonio River, and it's about 15 miles. It's beautiful. They have river parades. They have all sorts of activities, and it's free for that. So she said, we're going to the River Walk. We're going to San Antonio. So she paid for everything. They got in the car, road trip. They got there. They're staying in a really nice hotel right over the river, and they had gotten there and then had the really nice lunch. And then she said, okay, let's go to the River Walk. So the hotel was just above, then River Walk down at this entrance. And so they started looking for the entrance to the River Walk. And so they followed the signs, and they got to where the entrance was to get to the River Walk. Remember, it's free, right? It's free. And it was great in the River Walk. And they got to the entrance, and there was only one problem. The only entrance to the River Walk was, from the hotel anyhow, by elevator. Well, you say, no problem. Now, these days, you'd have to have stairs and things, right? This is a long time ago. No problem, right? Problem. Because one of the nephews, not going to tell you which one of the nephews was deathly, deathly, deathly afraid of elevators. Deathly afraid. And he saw the elevator, and Betty said, he just started backing up. And he said, no, 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 no. And so she said, yeah, come on, we can go. It's going to be wonderful. It's good. Let's go through, and let's go to the River Walk. No, 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 no. And so they started looking around to try to find another entrance to the River Walk. They went here, they went there, couldn't find another entrance. Why? There was only one. There was only one. They found the concierge and whatever. And he said, yeah, you go through that elevator. Isn't there another way? No, I'm sorry, ma'am. That's the only way. So Betty at this point has him by the hand and is dragging him through the lobby. And the closer they get to the elevator, the louder his voice gets. And pretty soon they get right near the elevator, and the one nephew is looking at it, and he is wailing. And so people are looking at her like, you child beater, right? Because he's wailing. And he's saying, no, Aunt Betty, no, no. I'm wailing. And she says, come on, we got to. This is the only way. This is the only way. And finally, she grabs him, because he was still really young, grabs him, holds him as tight as he can, and gets in the elevator, and he's wailing the whole time. So, of course, nobody else got in the elevator, right? Holds him, and down they go. They only go down two floors. That's it, two floors. And then they get there, the door opens, and they go out, and then he's fine. He's fine. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about that in relation to what we're looking at when Jesus says, I'm the way. Because it's beautiful in the river walk, but there was only one way. No, I want to go another way. There's only one way. And when we think about that, that's just a simple illustration. Jesus is the only way. And there are wonderful things. And there are people, no, I want another way. I want to do it my way, right? You know that song is supposed to be so great. I think it's not so great. I think Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. And we live in a culture, I do it my way, I do it my way. And Jesus, in love and very kindly and gently to each one of us, says, for salvation, you have to go my way. You have to go my way. So, first of all, a door means entrance. Secondly, a door means safety. Okay, so the first one, a door means entrance. Second, a door means safety and security. So I have some other questions for you again. How many of you at night, you make sure and you check that you've locked your door before you go to bed? How many of you did that last night? Now, when you say, oh, well, that's a lock and that's a door, but in this situation, it's the same meaning, right? It fits together, so a door and a lock. So let me ask you another question. How many of you often check your door twice just to be sure that you locked your door, right? Some of you don't. I should be nodding my head this week. Maybe I have an obsessive disorder or something. I don't know. So I'll check. How many of you go to bed and you're just falling asleep, but you can't quite fall asleep because you're thinking to yourself, did I lock the door? Did I lock the door? And sometimes you have to get up out of bed and you have to go check the door, right? Did I lock it? And almost always you did, didn't you? But you just got to be sure. Why? Because that means safety and that means protection. And I would ask you one more question, but I'm not going to. I'm just wondering how many of you did that last night when you went to sleep or when you went to bed as well. A door means safety. And Jesus, when he says, I'm the door, he promises that anyone who enters through him as the door will be safe. When the shepherd lay down in that doorway, he wasn't trying to find a place to sleep. He's lying there primarily to guard the sheep. It's primarily for the safety and the protection of the sheep. Listen, brothers and sisters, as a sheep of Jesus, you have an enemy. Don't take this the wrong way and don't get offended, but you and I, in the world of spiritual things, we are prey. You say, well, prey. Yes, you are. And I am too, in ourselves and in our own. What does Paul say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If it's flesh and blood, I can fight my own battles. But what does Paul say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And we can't do that in our own flesh. And so spiritually, you and I are prey. Don't get upset about that. Instead, be glad that though you and I are prey spiritually, we have a good shepherd who is the door, and he's going to keep us safe. Hallelujah and amen. We have an enemy. We are prey, and we have an enemy, just as sheep do in the natural. And that's why Jesus uses this example. The enemy may approach with such stealth that the sheep won't hear it. Have you ever been attacked and you didn't even see it coming? You didn't know it was coming, and boom, there it came. Why does the enemy come? To steal, kill, and destroy. The good thing is the shepherd is always aware of the approach of the enemies and of their tactics. And the good shepherd is in place. And when you go through the good shepherd who is the door, you are safe. That is what he does. That's one of the reasons he says, I am the door. And he is the door, not only to keep you at peace and at rest and so that you might follow him, but to keep you safe from the thieves and the robbers, from the wolves of this world. You have a good shepherd, and he is your door. He is your door. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about a very close friend of our family. And they were telling me something that had happened in their family some years ago. Very godly family. Had served the Lord. Really godly family. And they had several children. And the children had grown up. They're all adult children. And one of the children had come back to stay with them for a while. And this child was one who had wandered far from God and was living in rebellion and was mixed up in all sorts of things. Was deceived. Was messed up. Was involved probably in drugs and the occult, all sorts of things like that. And the parents had allowed him to come back in because they were trying to reach him again. So he was back in the home with them. And the father said, it was in the middle of the day one time, he was in the house, and he said, suddenly in his spirit, he sensed something. Something's wrong. Something's not right. Something's not right. It was in his spirit. And he got up from where he was in the house, and he got up and he went into the living room where the door entrance was. And there, as he walked into the room, his child, who was far from God and was involved in all sorts of stuff, was opening the door to the house and opened it wide. And standing there was a weird man. I mean, I'm not trying to be whatever, but a weird man. I'm not trying to be spooky, but this is what happened. This weird man. And the father looked, and he sensed immediately, there's something wrong. This is wrong. This is from the enemy. This is demonic. Now, devils and demons don't have to come through doors, but you understand what I'm saying. There's the symbolism there. The son, on the other hand, who was far from God and not under the care and the protection of the shepherd, who is the door of the sheep, the son literally opened the door. The man, I guess, had knocked, opened the door like this, held out his arms, welcome, like that. And the father immediately walked right up and stood in the doorway and said, sorry, no, and shielded him from coming into the house. And then the man walked out and then disappeared. And was gone. So I'm not trying to be spooky, but what I am trying to say is this. When you and I have come through the door of the sheep, and you've come through and you've come into his care and under his care, you are safe from the attacks of the enemy. You are safe from things that you didn't know, that you didn't know they were coming down the pike. You didn't know that they were going to hit you or your family or your health or your business or your relationships, any of those things. You are under the care of the shepherd, and he is the door, and it's his responsibility to take care of you. It's his responsibility to guard you. Now, I know some of you have some questions here right now, and I'll answer them. I'll answer them briefly in just a minute, but what I want to say is you are under he's responsible for you. You're not responsible for yourself. Unlike that son who was rebellious and far from God and was like, I'm going to take care of myself. What did the son do when the thieves and the robbers and the wolves came to the door? Here's the physical description of it. Open the door. Come in. Welcome. And when you and I are determined, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have my own life. Yeah, God, I want your good things, but I'm going to determine my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I can take care of myself. I'm going to make my own decisions. We take ourselves out from under the care of the shepherd. And when we do that, please hear my heart and don't get offended, but we are arrogant, deceived, and in danger. Because the only one who can protect us from the thieves and the robbers and the wolves of this world spiritually is the door of the sheep. And that's why he's here. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be afraid. Be thankful. Be thankful. Jesus is not talking about gaining salvation, losing salvation here when he talks about this. He says, I'm the door. Whoever comes in by me will be saved. Then look at this part, and this goes further about protection. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I was thinking about that, and those of you who are Chinese speakers, you know that there is a Chinese expression or a couplet that's painted in red that we put beside doors, don't we? What is it? Sorry, I only know the Mandarin. Chu ru ping an, right? Come in and go out in safety. And that's a little bit of the meaning here. And when Jesus says he will come in and go out and find pasture, let me explain that for you just a little bit further. When you and I close our doors and lock them at night, we do so to be safe and to be secure. So when Jesus says to be able to come in and go out, that was the Jewish way. We don't describe it that way, but that was the Jewish way of describing a life, a natural way of living, that as you lived your life, you could do so safely and securely and with peace. Okay? That's what it meant. And they understood Jesus when he said that. And you say, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. I'll give you some verses, give you some scripture in just a minute. When a man or a woman or children could go in and out without fear, it meant that his home was safe, his country was safe, his family was safe, and that there was peace and he could have security for his life. Let me give you an example of that. And you may not have seen that before. Let's see. Let me find it. Okay. Moses knows he's going to die. They're going into the promised land. Look at Numbers 27, verse 16. And so Moses talks to God, and he says, okay, God, I'm not going to be here. Would you appoint someone to take care of the people? Look at what he says. Very specific. I'm not reading the whole verse. May the Lord appoint a man over this community. Look with me. What does it say? To go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. There's the example for us, right? So that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. Let me read another verse for you. Let's see. Here we go. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Ah, let me read this for you. And that one, so you'll be blessed when you come in and when you go out. And the next verse is too good not to read. Ready? Look with me. So you'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Too good not to read that one, isn't it? I want us to see something this morning, brothers and sisters. When we are under the care and the protection of the Good Shepherd, it does not mean that there will not be attacks. It does not mean that we will not be hurt. It does not mean that we will not suffer. But what it does mean is we will be secure. We will be protected. We will not be destroyed. We will not come to nothing. And God promises the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated. You cannot defeat your enemies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Who can defeat your enemies? The door of the sheep. The door will defeat the enemies. This is what he promises to you and me. That's why the best place you can be is under the care of the shepherd. The best place you can be is going through the door of the sheep. The best place you can be is humbling yourself under him, and he will protect you. Not that you won't have enemies, not that you won't be attacked, but that you will be protected. The door of the sheep will defeat the enemy. You will not flee in panic when the attack comes. You will not flee in fear. But the enemy who thought you, your family, your health, your marriage, your children, your business, your future were easy prey for him, he will flee. He will flee because the door is protecting you. The door of the sheep is there. He will flee. Now, lest you think, Pastor Jen, you're getting a little bit carried away there. He's going to flee. I don't know about that. Got a New Testament verse for you. And you should know this one as well. Ready? James 4:7. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil. And what will he do? He will flee. He will flee in panic from you. He will flee from you. Humble yourselves before God. You say, Pastor Jennifer, how does that fit with what you just read? You're under the care of God. You're under the protection of God. You have gone into the security. You've gone through the door, and you're under him. What does it mean to humble in this particular situation? You come before the Lord and you say, oh God, I can't do this by myself. If you have been presumptuous or arrogant and thinking, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to fight and I'm going to, and you've been looking at flesh and blood, you come back to the Lord and you say, oh God, and you humble yourself under his hand, and you say, God, I can't do it. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm under your protection. Lord, I'm under your hand. Lord, I'm under your care. God, take control over my family. God, take control of my marriage. I've been trying to manipulate. I've been trying to make things work. I repent of that. I'm under your hand. I humble myself before you, oh God. I humble myself before you. And God says, good, you're in the right place. I will take care of the enemy now. And that's what we do. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. One final thing as we come to a close this morning. A door means entrance. A door means safety and security and protection. And finally, a door means more. A door means more. What do I mean by that? A door means more. Don't leave off the last words of that sentence. What does Jesus say? Look at your Bibles. I'm the door. Whoever comes in by me will be saved. He will come in and go out, last three words, and find pasture. And find pasture. Palestine was a dry, mostly arid, sort of almost like a desert place. But when you enter through the door of the sheep and you're under his care, you will come in and go out, you'll be saved, and you will find abundance. You will find more. That's why David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? I shall not want. I shall not want. Paul writes later, you know this verse so well, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. How does Jesus end that part, that section? You know this very well. Verse 10 of John 10. The thief comes to do what? What are the three words? Kill, steal, destroy. Those three words. What does Jesus say? I have come in order that you might have life and have it to the full. Have it in rich and satisfying abundance. This is what it means to enter through the sheep. And I want to say something. And again, hear my heart. And I say this in love this morning. I talk with Christians all the time. They're Christians. They have entered through the door. But I talk with people all the time. Well, certainly if you don't know the Good Shepherd. But people who look at their lives and they're not satisfied. Who look at their Christian lives and feel like I'm so dried up. I'm so hungry. I'm so thirsty. I don't have abundance in my life. I'm just barely making it week to week. Where is this abundant life that God has promised, that Jesus has said, I've come that you might have abundant life? I have a question for you then. Jesus says, you come in by me and be saved. You'll come in and go out. You don't come in on your own and you don't go out on your own. You are always following the Good Shepherd. He's leading you. And so the question to ask yourself is, am I following the leading of the Shepherd? Am I following? Because we want the good things of God, we want salvation, but so often we get that to that step, and then we kind of say, but I want to do what I want to do, and I want to live my life. Only in following, as we go in and out, and only the shepherd leads us in that way. Only in following along closely with the shepherd will we come into the rich and abundant life that he has. Jesus, your good shepherd, will never lead you into a dry place. Jesus, your good shepherd. And you say, but I'm in a dry place. It's either you're not following the leading of the good shepherd, or you need to open your eyes and let the Lord provide for you in that dry place. He gave water from a rock in the dry place to his children in the desert. He gave manna when there was no manna. And if you are in a dry place because of the shepherd's leading, look to him to provide what you need. Or if you are in a place where there's no pasture and you're not enjoying abundant life, the time has come to look at yourself and say, Lord, Where have I wandered from your path? Where have I stopped following your leading? Because the Lord is the good shepherd. And I'm the door of the sheep. I am the door. I give you entrance. I protect you. And I provide more. I provide more. Let me pray for you. And as I pray for you this morning, just open your heart. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? How is he speaking to you? And as I pray for you, here's a point in time to ask the Lord about it. And then go on further. We went quickly this morning. We looked at a lot of scriptures and talked further with the Lord. Spend time with him. Lord, we come to you this morning. God, I come on behalf of your sheep who are here and who are listening this day. May we hear your voice. May we enter in your door. May we be humble under your hand and under your leading. May you provide security and protection. We humble ourselves under you that the enemy might flee. You defeat the enemy. And we come to you and we say, I'm going to follow you. Oh, good shepherd, I'm going to walk more closely with you. Lead your sheep into pasture that they will want not and enjoy the life abundantly for which you came and gave your life. We thank you, O Jesus, for being our shepherd. We thank you for being our door. In the name of Jesus, amen.